Fitz Nation. Let's go.
I always had to be mega in the zone, ready to go out there on my shield.
Be in the question and don't look for the answer, because the answer is the end.
Think about who I'm fighting for, fight for something greater.
At the end of the day, you got to believe in yourself.
It's time for the Fitz Nation podcast with your host, Brendan Fitzgerald.
Corey Sandhagen's on the program. One of my favorite fighters, both for the action he provides and the mindset that he has. Corey, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, let's call it a month out from your fight here. What is this stretch of camp like for you?
It sucks. I'm on about my last week of really physically trying to kill myself as much as possible. I have like 8 rounds today in sparring, and then I got 8 rounds Friday. And then, so this week it's just like I kind of like heavy load the front of my camps with like a lot of physical exertion, to get all the bitchness out of me and, to keep my mind in a place where it can still do what I want it to do, even when it's really tired. So I'm on my kind of last week of that, and then I'll start to taper down just, you know, my rounds and sparring, which makes the week a lot less shitty. So
right.
I'm at right now. So this week, and then I kind of get to take a little bit of a breath.
To get all the bitchness out of me.
Yeah.
So hold on. How did you learn to set up your camps that way? So like I'm hearing you just really crush yourself the first month or so?
So I usually do 10 weeks. So like, yeah, the first six. Okay. So the first week is kind of a little bit like, just getting back into it, getting my body back, you know, used to the motions and stuff. So the first week I don't go too crazy, but, because typically that's like when you hurt yourself or something,
yeah,
back into things. So first week isn't like super crazy. And then, yeah, pretty much after that, it's like 6 rounds, 2 weeks of 7 rounds, or 2 weeks of 6, 2 weeks of 7, 2 weeks of 8. And then I go, and then I try to like really dial in those last 4 weeks so that everything is nice and crisp, for the last 4 weeks of training camp.
Yeah. And what do you do in between? Like if it's getting back into the motions when camp starts?
So that's just like, so I guess when camp starts really doesn't change anything except for my competitiveness. I still train pretty much the exact same, unless I'm like super beat up on like a Thursday. Sometimes is when I start to feel it a little bit, like maybe I'll take a Thursday night off, but
yeah.
It's pretty much not that different except just the level of competition,
right,
that I make it about. So, and not necessarily like competitiveness with my training partners as much as it's just like a really, really deeply focusing on trying to like get shit right and working on.
Yeah. Be the best version of yourself in 10 weeks time or whenever that target date is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like such a valuable thing to know that target. That's a different form of improvement, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Like the fact that you have to be at your best on September 17th in the evening.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Peaking's an art, man. Peaking's an art. And it takes a lot of time to kind of like figure out what the best way for you to do that. And, I feel like I've like really dialed down my way of doing that. Everyone's a little bit different, but yeah, it's an art, and I feel like I've definitely like really got that piece of the game down pretty well.
Yeah. So I want to go big picture a little bit. I think in your bio for the UFC, it says like, how did you get into training? And you're just like, nothing really exciting. I just liked it and I did it. But like, I need to know more about the Sandhagen story. How would you describe your upbringing in Colorado?
It was okay. All right.
Why do you say okay?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
just okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess, all right, I'm from Aurora, Colorado, which is, it's Colorado, so it's not like, you know, like a rough area. But
sure.
Aurora, Colorado has like its rough parts. So I grew up in a way where I had a lot of different types of friends. I had like, you know, I had, you know, what you would consider like normal friends, like law-abiding citizens, who just wanted to do normal kid shit. And then I had friends that weren't that, who were just more involved in gangs and selling drugs and stuff like that. And then I had friends that were, you know, like way living in poverty, like living on food stamps and stuff. And then I had friends that were way living really, really well off. And then
yeah,
I was kind of, you know, a little bit in the middle of that, maybe a little bit more on the, I always felt like I had everything a little bit better off than a lot of the people that I hung out with, which kind of gave me a worldview that I think is a little bit, I mean, definitely significantly has impacted who I am. Like, it's really easy for me to understand different walks of life because I just am not as judgmental as I feel like some people are, you know. Like, I know that there's just a lot of different types of living out there. And so that was kind of my experience in Colorado. As far as like my family life goes, we weren't really like a super tight knit family at the time with me growing up. I don't really like to go into too much detail of like what my family life looked like too much, to be honest with you, but
yeah,
we're a lot better now.
No, that's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm very close with everyone in my family now, but it kind of always really wasn't like that. And that kind of, I think, fueled, like, I was kind of an angry, aggressive, physical kid, but I was also still the quiet, you know, kind of humble guy that you see now. But I always kind of got my outlet through sport. I played basketball on, like, a lot of really competitive basketball teams growing up. And I was always the kid that, like, would really get pissed if he was playing bad, or if we were losing, or if we lost against someone that we should have killed. And so I always was like mega, mega competitive. And I have reasons for that I think that I'd rather just keep to myself also. But yeah, just kind of angry, physical.
Yeah.
Sports were always just my way of getting all of that out. It also made for a very competitive me, even though, you know, I come off the way that I know that I come off, which is, you know, kind of well-spoken, humble, not too arrogant, this and that. But in my brain, I'm a very competitive, and I really, you know, kind of pride myself on being able to figure out how to win at things, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so that's kind of the gist of the upbringing, I suppose.
So close to the vest in terms of like sharing that sort of your story. Is that something you prefer, both from your past and then kind of now? I feel like you don't put a lot out there on who you are and like your behind the scenes type of stuff, where some guys are like, follow me around with a camera, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's for two reasons. One, I think, one of the reasons is I just don't really feel like, you know, like at this point in my life, you know, maybe in the future it will be different, but at this point in my life, I don't really feel like everyone needs to know everything about me. I think that we kind of live in a day and age where everyone wants to share everything about themselves, and I'm not really like that. I don't really personally care too much if people, like, know everything about me, you know? Like,
right.
I think some things are just meant to be private, and so that's one of the reasons. The other reason is, honestly, like, I don't want people shoving me into an identity, which I've spent a lot of my life trying to undo a lot of the identities that I feel like I've just kind of latched onto when I was younger, just for whatever reasons those may be, you know, like fitting in, survival, whatever it is. I don't dig the concept of trying to be branded, and I don't dig the concept of trying to identify with a certain group of people, because at the end of the day, like I said, I grew up with a lot of different types of people in my life, and I don't really want to be seen as like labeled or whatever. So I kind of just, you know, I don't try to fit into any brand or any identity or anything like that, because like I said, like, I've spent a decent amount of my life trying to like let go of a lot of the identities that I was. And and yeah,
Corey, I knew I liked you. I mean, I knew I liked you already, but you're just sitting there saying you don't want to be branded and you don't want to be that label thing is like, that's such a negative part of like, so you're this. Oh, okay. So you're this.
Yeah.
And so you're taking the approach of just like, the less I share, the less they know. I put out that I'm a good fighter. That's all I want them to know.
Yeah, pretty much, man. Like, I'm, you know, maybe I'm a little bit too much on the artsy side of like the whole sport thing, and I don't try to connect with people maybe as much as the rest of the people try to, and this and that. But honestly, man, I feel like I'm a very normal guy. There isn't really like a lot of branding to have. You know, like,
right.
I know that everyone has their own special story and their own special gifts and failures and stuff. And I definitely have those things too, but, yeah, I don't, you know, like we just live in a day where everyone wants to know everything about everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really care to like participate in that part of the world. I think that that's a reason that I'm not super huge on the social media stuff. Like I don't use my Twitter, even though I keep getting told over and over and over again that I should use my Twitter, but I just don't really feel like that needs to be a part of life. You know, like it doesn't, we don't need to have the same connection that we have with the internet that we have right now. It's like kind of insane. If you think about what life looked like 20 years ago, you know, granted I'm a, you know, I'm 30, but so I was a kid, but I can imagine what life was like 30, 40 years ago when all of this didn't really exist. And even growing up, like thinking of my own, you know, like sports idols that I had and just the accessibility that people have to, you know, they're kind of like idols now is just like not really realistic to me, you know, like the bar is just like not real.
Yeah. It takes the specialness away of it a little bit, like the fact that you can follow everybody around all the time through your phone.
Yeah,
you know
what is the saying? You're never supposed to meet your idol.
Never supposed to meet your heroes. Yeah, like don't meet your heroes.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's a weird world, and that's like part of the world that like really weirds me out. So I just don't really participate in it.
And yet, it's what's funny, not funny, but like what's unique is that you are a star in a sport that I would say thrives on social media like no other sport.
Yeah.
What's that like for you to, come to terms with?
Sure. Yeah, it's a... okay, so there's kind of two parts of the sport, right? There's like having clout and then there's being good. And I'm just like putting all my chips in like the being good basket. That's just the way that I'm going to do it. You know, everyone expresses themselves different while they go through this existence, you know, and my way of expressing myself is just like through the art. It's not being this like character, this WWE character that like people, you know, really latch onto or can understand better than just like a normal guy who's actually really, really good at something and really, really loves something. That maybe is more unbelievable to a lot of people than, you know, someone who dresses crazy and acts a certain way, where to me it's the reverse. It's like, oh, these people, you know, this is almost like a circus sometimes, you know, where it, you know, I also work with a lot of kids. Like I teach the high altitude kickboxing program. Mm-hmm. I used to work at a residential treatment facility with traumatized and neglected kids. So I also have that on the back of my mind where I'm like, I don't want to seem too far out to where people can't relate to me anymore, because then I'm not inspiring them. The best way that I feel like I can inspire people is through me being a very normal guy. And for people to see a very normal guy excelling extremely high at a craft only because he loves it so much and because he's a competitive person about it, I think that that's way more inspiring than trying to be like this like demigod or whatever it is that people try to kind of like portray themselves as.
So how do you feel then when you witness the circus, for lack of a better term?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's like, I'll deal with this a little bit too, where everyone says you're the greatest and it feels good and you kind of deflect it a little bit. And then when everyone says other people are the greatest and it's like in the realm of what you do, you're just like, well, wait a sec. Like that means I'm not whatever. Right. So when they do a lot of talking about all those other people that are in your orbit and in your kind of thing, how does that make you feel as somebody who wants to be known as, you know, like one of, if not the best?
I have kind of come to terms with the fact that we're all just playing this like big giant game, you know, like we're all playing this giant game where we have to sell people on the idea of us. And to some people, that's like okay, and that's like natural, and that like doesn't go against too many of their values and this and that. But for me, it kind of does. You know, like I think that there's definitely like different levels of existing. Like I said, there's a lot of different ways to express yourself. And I think that my way of expressing myself has always just been through the art, you know, like it's been through the art of fighting. It hasn't been through like communicating to people, you know, like I have a decent amount of tattoos and none of them are words, because I think that like art is more beautiful than words are. And I think that when I think about why I got into the sport and why I think about, you know, why I'm actually doing this on like a deeper, you know, like spiritual level, it's because I was like a super sad, angry, like 17-year-old kid who didn't really have, you know, like, I was just sad, man. You know, like I've kind of always been like in that sad boy train, and I didn't really have anything to like express myself with except for sport. And when I found martial arts, it's like one of the most beautiful sports in the world. And that's why I started this whole thing, you know, and that's who I try to be for other people. Like I said, so I can inspire them the best that I can. And so that I can just be that. And, you know, like I said, maybe just because the way that the world is set up now, it goes against a lot of the ways that people are, where, you know, they share a lot about themselves, everything's documented, this and that. But, no, for me, my expression happens in the 15, 25 minutes that I get to be in the cage. And yeah. Like, I put all of my eggs into that basket, and that's just my way of living.
So you majored in psychology in college, is that correct?
Yep.
Have you come to terms, I won't make you get into why you were sad as a 17-year-old, but have you come to terms with the fact that you were sad and like why you were sad, and kind of now that it's in the rearview mirror, now that you are 30 years old?
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, I'm definitely like, you know, everyone's a work in progress, of course, but yeah, I think I just seen like a, you know, I seen myself, everyone has had their fair share of suffering, you know, like it, sometimes I call the earth like the suffering grounds, you know, like
yeah.
This is where we come to suffer. This is where we, but in suffering, there's a lot of learning. There's a lot of growing. There's a lot of like figuring stuff out. Like, I think that one of my main goals in like this existence is to try to learn as much as I can about human beings and about, and that's always just been like a giant interest to me, is just like, why is that person the way that they are? And this person is the way that they are. And, is it just like this nature nurture thing, or is there something else going on, which I do believe in. And, it's just like, that's just like the path that I've kind of walked down. And like I said, I think that a lot of that is significantly, an interest to me, just because I grew up with so many different types of people in my life. Like, and that always kind of really bugged me out, you know, like I was like, why am I, you know, like I was just born into this way of, you know, way than this other person who is really, really struggling, man. Like I remember I went to one of my buddy's houses in middle school, and he slept, it was a studio apartment, and he slept in like right next to his kitchen, you know? And I was like
on the floor.
Yeah. Like, well, he had a mattress, but it wasn't right. A mattress.
Oh, like just a studio apartment. Like this is all it was.
And his mom, his little brother and him all lived in there. And I remember going there and I was like, oh, so things are different, you know? And then you start to learn things about like other people's family situations that are a lot different than your situation. And you start mm-hmm. to ask yourself, why is that? You know, like, that's like a super interesting question to me. So that's what has gotten me interested in psychology, is just, I just really love learning the reasons that we all are the way that we are.
That loss of innocence thing of like somebody's living their families in one room type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that just like, and then also just like the existential question of like, well, why do some people get it better off than other people? You know, like,
yeah,
you know, but like I said, man, like, I think that we're here to suffer, and I think that we're here to like learn from that suffering. And I think that there's like a ton of beauty inside of all of it. And, And yeah, that's kind of where I am right now with all of those questions. And yeah, I always read books and do all of that jazz and just try to figure out how this whole thing is organized. You know, that's like a fun thing for me.
So can you explain to me why combat sports spoke to you so much? Because you're a basketball player, combat sports, kickboxing. Why did you just such get grabbed by that?
I don't know. I wish I really knew. I wish that I wish it was piano or something, you know. A little bit easier, but you love what you love. You don't.
Right.
Because sometimes I hate this shit.
Hold on. I want you to go into this real quick. Sometimes I hate this, right? Like today you're getting ready to go to sparring after this interview. Uh-huh. So how do you feel about that right now?
Right now I'm okay, you know, cause I'm distracted, but, sparring to me on like hard days is like, and this is, in my opinion, how it should be, because it gets you most used to how you're going to feel in a fight. But it's like you're about to touch a stove that's really, really hot, and you know it's going to hurt. And like you just kind of have to like wait and like hover your hand above it. And then just when the bell rings, you have to like touch the stove. Like that's kind of the feeling of like going into like a hard day of sparring, where it's just like, man, I'm going to get so tired and like so exhausted in this like 45 minutes. And it's going to major suck. And that's why I hate it some days, you know, but, at the same time, like you don't get to just like, if this thing was just like fun all the time, I can't even like imagine what that would really look like.
Right.
If this thing was fun all the time, then it would be, I don't know anyone that's like done anything super great where it's just been like a blast the entire time, you know, like, they're definitely, you know, and like, there's still me like really appreciating and being grateful for like my body being able to do these things. And there is like a certain level of like, beauty that happens where I'm like, man, like that was great. I just did that like really hard day of sparring and I got way better in these couple weeks. And like, all of that feels really awesome. But in the time period, like sometimes it sucks and sometimes you hate it. And, that's just the way that it is. And I don't try to like sugarcoat that at all. Like when sometimes I'll get asked like, hey, like, do you have any, advice for like, you know, me as like a fighter, like coming up? And I'm like, yeah, man, you know, get ready to not enjoy yourself a lot.
Yeah.
And like, be ready to not enjoy yourself a lot. Because it sucks to lose and it sucks to suck at things, and no one gets good at anything without sucking at it first. And so I'm just kind of used to that, you know.
But flexing that muscle, that kind of brain muscle of understanding how much something is going to be a struggle, but still doing it. There's like a lot of value in that. What is the value in that for you?
Oh, okay. So there's probably two values. One of them is like that, like, yeah, you flex that muscle, like you get better at it. Like jumping out of an airplane is probably only super scary like the first time, right?
And right.
You're better at it. But then there's also this like this thing that has to happen inside of your mind and inside of your body, and you have to have a physiological response in order to prepare you for such an intense experience like going into a cage and fighting in front of a lot of people. You have to be used to those types of feelings, and you won't get used to those types of feelings by just like lollygagging, you know, and not putting yourself in a mega super uncomfortable situation. And this is my week of like making myself super, super uncomfortable, and being that uncomfortable like really is not fun. It's like really, it just causes this like physiological response that if you're not used to, you're going to not be as good at it while mm-hmm. you're doing it. So I just try to do that as much as possible. Like before sparring, a lot of people will like, you know, they'll try to get themselves pumped up. They'll try to, you know, maybe relax themselves. They'll try to, you know, like I see guys joking all the time before sparring, and all of that stuff is great depending on where you are in camp and your, like, if you have a fight coming up and blah, blah, blah. But for me right now, it's like, let me see how like nervous I can make myself. Like, let's really freak myself out right now so that if I'm in the back and that happens, I can handle that as best that I can, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's flexing that muscle. And then it's also just the understanding that like, you won't get to where you want to get to unless you put yourself in that situation over and over and over again.
Yeah. You know what I wrote in my journal recently, and I don't journal like I'm trying to make it a more regular thing, but just over the weekend when I was in San Diego, I wrote down something that I'm working on, which is do hard things that make you feel good afterwards instead of easy things that make you feel bad afterwards.
Sure. Yeah, that's good.
That sounds like sparring.
Yeah. I mean, that
for me, it's avoiding shitty food. Right? Like, don't eat the easy thing that's like, okay, Uber Eats to whatever. Yeah. And then you're just like, that tasted good, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a balance to it all, man. Like, I try not to be like the too macho motivator type of guy, because I know that everyone's just in very different parts of their life. Like, some people need things to be easier on themselves. You know, like some people are in a place in their life where they won't be able to move forward unless their life is easier. And I don't hate on those types of people, you know. They need to go through whatever walk they need to go through in order for that to be the case. And my case is just different. So, but I also just kind of understand like the two realms of existence. So if you feel like you need to do that in order to get, then like maybe you should do it, unless in your heart, you know, that it's the wrong thing. That's always what I tell people to listen to is their heart. And if you know in your heart that that's the wrong thing to do, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Well, I do have a 3-month-old at home, so maybe I should look for ways to make my life just a little easier where I can right now. All right. So, how would you describe the early part of your career though? Because it's like, we talked about how it grabbed, you don't really know why it grabbed you in terms of combat sports, whatever. But how did it go from this thing that you really love doing to your career?
Mostly in the beginning, it was me being young, me being good at something, and me getting a lot of attention for being good at it. I think that
did you not get attention that you kind of wanted at other things?
Yeah, potentially. But also I think that like basketball was just wrapping up, and that was like also like my physical outlet for things.
Right.
And I kind of like had found like a new physical outlet. And honestly, I just joined just to, because I wanted to kind of like learn jiu-jitsu. I want to learn how to like punch and stuff.
Yeah.
It's never like, oh, like, cool, I see this on TV. This is like, there wasn't like a light bulb that went off that was like, hey, you should, you know, like, this is your passion. Like, it wasn't like that for me. I was like, you know, always trying to be a really cool kid. Like, that's what I tried to identify as when I was growing up. I always tried to just be this, like, fit into that identity of just being like a cool guy. And I thought that fighting was like a cool guy thing, you know. And I wanted to be good at it. I was also like really small growing up, so I was never really able to protect myself. I always had like bigger friends that would do it for me.
Yeah.
Maybe that had something to do with it too, but no, I just wanted to do something that I thought would make me cool. And then I kind of just like fell in love with it, to be honest. But I would be lying if I said in the beginning, it wasn't just me trying to, you know, like say that I could fight.
Prove like, yourself, prove yourself a bit.
Yeah, exactly. Like every 17, 18, 19 year old kid wants to be able to do, like they want,
right.
They want to say that they can kick your ass and you can't kick yours, you know, like, that's like as like a teenage kid, that's like a gigantic motivator to learn how to fight. So that's how it started. And then like that pressure of me being good and people telling me that I should do this. And that like, oh, you're such a good fighter. This is like, you're whatever. And I never really got to like learn those things about myself until later. I was kind of just doing them because people told me that it was like a good idea. Like I said, like, 19, 20 year old kid, like that's just kind of what you do. Like you listen
yeah.
to people that are a little bit older than you, they tell you, hey, you're really good at this, like you should do this. And then like people push you because they see like your potential and stuff. And again, I'm grateful for that. It kind of like went south a little bit because again, I latched onto an identity of being a fighter. That's not really like deep down who I am. So after I lost for my first time, not as amateur, but as a professional, then I had to kind of start asking myself some really tough questions. Cause I think I was in a place where I was about to get signed to the UFC. I was 5-0. I was going to fight a really good fighter where if I won, I think that I would have gotten signed, lost that fight. Didn't. And when you're outside of the UFC, you have no idea how much time it's going to take to get signed or this and that, and like how much things put you back and this and that. So I took a lot of time after that first loss and just had to reevaluate who I was as like a person, I guess, existing on this planet. And then I learned a lot about myself after that. And I feel like I'm really, like, I remember having a moment where I was like, do I love this so much to where I'm willing to like live with my parents for even longer than I am right now? You know, like, do I love it enough to like be like, will I do this for the rest of my life if it means that I have zero success in anything? And the answer to that was yes. Like, I do love this enough. And that kind of like changed my whole perspective on the sport after I got that moment of like true honesty with myself about that.
How did you go about getting that moment of true honesty? I think a lot of people are looking for that, but it's tough to actually kind of sit down and manifest it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had to leave, man. I spent pretty much, I think I fought in like February or something. And then once summer hit, and even like early summer, like I was pretty much in the mountains every, you know, whenever I could. Like, I would still work at the gym and still work at the treatment facility that I was at, but I would just do it like pretty minimally. And then I just pretty much just camped out for an entire summer.
You're in a tent in the mountains.
Yeah, pretty much. I was still living at home. Like I said, like I was still doing those things, but I was probably in the mountains more than I was at home.
You'd go up there for like days at a time.
Yep. I would go on like long trips, you know, like long hiking trips. I would drive mountain, go hike, go drive to another mountain, go hike. And I would do that for days and then go back, work, make money, and then go back to the mountains. And I pretty much did that for, you know, like 3 or 4 months. And then I just kind of like spent, I mean, like, you just sit there when you're in the mountains, you know, like, sit there and you think, and it was kind of in just leaving and getting away from everything that I was able to kind of like learn a lot about myself in that summer.
What identity, like, are you trying to avoid by, I'm trying to think of how to word this question. Like, you know how before you were like, yeah, I keep it close to the vest because I don't want anybody to put me in an identity. Do you care to share like what identities people maybe were defining you as?
I think that everyone kind of latches on to personality traits and to characteristics about themselves, even maybe a little bit of like values of like the way that they really see the world as more or less like a survival technique. There's also like a tad bit of like, yeah, people want to be seen in certain ways, so they act accordingly. But a lot of it, I think, is a lot of survival. So, you know, growing up, like I said, I was just like sports kid. Like I was just like good white basketball player who was like a cool guy, you know, and that's who I just tried to be for like a really long time. And then once I got good at fighting, it was like, oh, cool, I can be cool guy, fighter guy. And then once I lost, I was like, oh shit, like, am I cool guy? You know, like, is cool guy going to end? Like, is cool guy going to die?
Right.
And then I kind of got that experience where I was like, ah, man, I'm not really any of these like things that I think that I am. And I'm not really any of these, like, these things that other people try to make me as either. And if you want to get like really, really a little bit far out there, I think that we, you know, I'm not a super religious guy, but I do have like, you could argue like religious beliefs. And one of them is that we do have souls and that at the bottom, you know, and our souls are these like loving beings and we're kind of just living out this human existence. And I kind of learned that we are just these loving beings, you know, that like exist inside of this human experience. And that's what I am at like the deepest core of who I am. And it's hard to be that, but also be like in a competitive world like I am now. So sometimes those two things will bump heads or whatever, but it's just, you know, that's just my walk. So like, that's just what I got to deal with.
How do you share the love that you have?
Like in life?
Just like if you're a loving being, right? I would imagine that it's a lot about giving right? Yeah. It's a lot about like what you can do for other people, people that you love, and then just like the planet and all that. How do you manifest that while, as you said, being a competitive, and not just a competitive athlete, but a competitive fighter?
Yeah. So there's, I think that there's, serving self, and then there's serving other. And I think that, both of them, if they're not in balance, can kind of, lead to some hiccups. But right now what I'm doing is a lot of serving self. Like, I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to be the champion. I'm trying to be the best fighter in the world. And those things don't really involve anyone else other than me just wanting to do that for myself. But that's what's in my heart. And I can't really explain why certain things are inside of my heart, but that's like a thing that I can't get to have go away. Like it, you know, then there's also just me trying to balance that with like serving others, like trying to maybe create excuses for why I'm serving myself. So mm-hmm. Where, oh, while I'm serving myself, I can learn a lot, and then I can teach the younger generations, you know, how to do things a little bit better and not make the same mistakes as I have and this and that. And so that's a big piece of it too. I mean, how do I give love? A lot of me trying to like love other people is me gaining a lot of knowledge, so again, they don't make the same mistakes that I maybe mm-hmm. so that they can be a little bit better quicker than I was able to get better at. And also just to inspire people by just being who I am, and really living by the code of like going by what my heart says and not what other people say and not what the circus tries to tell me to do.
Yeah.
And I just try to live in that way because I know that that has more love inside of it than me pretending to be something that I'm not. And an inspiration is what I think that I am at like the core of me. And if I go against who I am, then I'm not going to have that same inspirational, you know, vibration through my existence. So,
yeah. For anybody listening podcast form, I'm going to cut it there. Hear the whole interview on UFC Fight Pass. I'm still talking with Corey for a few more minutes here.